Bum, bum,
come on,
bum,
get
bum,
happy.
Bum, 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 bum.
All right, let me... Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour
Ladies Night.
I'm Allison Hayslip.
I'm Maud Garrett, and for the next 30-ish minutes, we're going to be sipping some booze and spitting some news.
Mm-hmm. And we're always going to spit it at White Wine Mandango, Tom Krajewski.
Oh, not in the face.
Not in the face.
No, no, spit my face.
Only on the chest.
Yeah.
Only on the chest.
What? Whoa, hey, yeah.
Whee.
Here we go, ladies.
Hey, guys.
Yeah. What's happening?
We have mood lighting today in the studio.
It's sexy.
How do I
look? Can you see my wrinkles in this light?
You look glowy,
Tom. I glow?
Dewy. You actually do kind of look nice. Dewy and beautiful.
Maybe I'm
dewy.
Pregnant.
Dewy.
Oh, maybe that's
pregnant?
It. Are you pregnant?
Oh, my gosh.
I watched an episode of Grey's Anatomy last night where a woman... thought she was having bowel issues, and instead she gave birth in a CT scanner.
In the CT
that
scanner?
That happens more than
what?
I ever thought it would.
What do you mean?
I read the paper.
Yeah, people not knowing that they're pregnant.
Oh, I thought you meant giving birth in a CT scanner. Yeah. I was like, did the CT...
No, some people give birth in the toilet.
Did I tell the story of my friend who didn't realize how pregnant she was?
Yeah,
I did? Okay.
I don't know.
See?
Okay, you did.
Yeah. My friend found out she was pregnant when she was 5 months pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is insane.
That's crazy.
I know. I mean, thankfully she found out and she didn't give birth in a toilet, but yeah. She's now had the baby. It's gorgeous. Gorgeous girl.
I want a baby.
You do?
Do you want a baby?
Yeah.
You want kids? How many kids would you have?
One's enough. I've got a dog, so...
Yeah, you just need Zelda and a baby.
Yes.
Would you prefer boy, girl?
Boy.
See, that's interesting, because like...
I want a little boy, because I know what I was like when I was a little girl, and I was singing to the fairies in the garden, and I just don't need that. I'd be like, come on. Oi, you pansy! What are you doing? I would make up songs all the time.
See, I sang all the time,
oh,
too.
God.
That's what I would love. That's why I'd rather have a daughter, I think.
Oh, really?
I don't want to have a boy. Boys are jerks.
I want to... Exactly. I want to raise a little feminist. I want to teach guys how to stick up for bullies.
Okay.
Or two bullies,
Stick up four bullies.
No, stick up two bullies. And to... treat women and girls with respect and learn to get rejected.
That's actually pretty big one for us men who feel.
Because I feel like you
men
emotions.
You feel emotions.
And continue.
Yeah. I used to sing all the time as a little girl, like to the point where we would go to bed, and like once the house was all quiet, I would just like sit up in my bed and sing songs.
About the day as well? It was like...
Make up music or whatever. Yeah. And it took me so many years to realize that I was not like in a soundproof room, that I'm sure my parents sat up and heard me singing all the time.
Again.
Yeah, but to me, I was like, I was in my own world. It was like where my imagination ran free, and I would just like sing little songs. And
that's why I want a boy.
Yeah. So no one's keeping you up at night singing their little songs.
I just don't want to have to tell my daughter that fairies aren't real immediately.
Yeah.
What'd you name your boy?
Link.
Link.
Yes.
Yeah. I called my dog Zelda.
Zelda.
I would I think Link, and it's like, is it short for Lincoln? No, it's just Link.
Just Link.
And then every time I lose my son, because I will, I'll be like, I'm missing Link.
Actually, a friend of mine actually lost her son in a park this like a week and a half ago
that
or something like that.
That is frightening as anything.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, totally not her fault at all. It was like, you know, one of these, like, he was playing with a bunch of boys and the boys were like running in and out of these bushes. And then all of a sudden all the other boys ran out and he didn't. And he's like two-ish, I think. And it was like, as she went in there, couldn't find him.
Oh,
like the whole park, like she was like sobbing. The whole park was looking for him. And finally they found him because he's potty training.
Oh.
So he's learned that he's not supposed to go to the bathroom in front of people. So he apparently snuck off behind the bushes to find an even thicker brush
to do a poop.
And so she like found him, thank God, but she was like, it was the worst moment of my life.
I don't want kids anymore.
No. And you're like, I'm done. Sorry. Sorry. But I feel like every parent goes through a moment where they've lost
track of their child. We went to the park.
Yeah.
I wandered off with my then best friend, and it was so interesting to see how different our parents responded to it.
Yeah.
She got smacked in front of everyone.
No!
Like, a lot.
No!
What?
Yeah. It was like, how dare you? You worried me sick. Smack, smack. And then my parents were just like, hey, don't do that. We got really worried. And I remember, like, feeling so sorry for her and embarrassed by, like, for her because she got...
Yeah.
completely, yeah, punished in public.
Wow.
And my parents were just like, we really need to have a chat about safety.
Yeah, exactly. My mom loves telling this story about my brother when I think my brother was like two, like just like learning how to walk super independently, you know, and we had gone to, there's this water park or this park, the amusement park in Pennsylvania that's Sesame Place.
Yeah, cool.
I think it's called just Sesame Place, or is it Sesame Street Land? No, I think it's Sesame Place. It's like an amusement park for little kids, clearly. But we were in the water park area, and my mom was like reading a book while my brother was sitting in like the little kiddie waiting pond, and then all of a sudden she looked up from the book and Greg was not there, and she was like, oh my God. And she just like started scouring the waiting pool and like looking all over, and she was like losing her mind. And she finally went over to the bigger kid pool, which is where I was, and then she found Greg there, and she was like, Gregory, what are you doing? And apparently Greg just stood up and was like, Mom, I told you I was coming over here. Like, just so defiant and like, I told you, you didn't listen. This isn't my fault at two. Yeah.
I just realized if you want instant anxiety, we should talk about moments where parents lose children. Instant anxiety.
I got lost in the mall as a kid because I left my mom in the bathroom.
Aww.
So, yeah, my sister was eating ice cream, so we go into the bathroom to clean her face up, and I tell my mom I'm going to go wait in the elevator.
Yeah.
So I ran away from her. She's like, no, don't run away. And I got in the elevator. Like, she's running towards me, and the door's closed.
Oh, no. Wait, you told this.
I did.
I remember. Yeah. No, keep telling it, because mom doesn't know. This was before mom.
Yeah, and so then the next thing I know, the door's... Yeah.
Before mom.
The door's open. There's this big, tall guy there, and I'm like, where am I? And then I just started crying, and they found me. My mom came, and she's all bawling her eyes
out. But at least
you lost me.
You were aware that something had gone wrong.
Oh, yeah, totally. You know I was terrified of like getting lost for years after that. That was traumatic for me.
Public transport, trains. Very first time we went on a train, it was mom and my two brothers and I. I think we did, because my brother was just going to high school, and so we did the train trip to with him, so he knew how to get to his new high school. Anyway, on the way back, we were at our stop and totally oblivious. Mom's like, oh, quick, it's us. And she runs up and jumps off the train, and she's like, come on.
Oh,
and
no.
The door's just shut on us.
Oh, no.
My mom was out of the train, and we got to the next station.
Oh, my gosh.
No way.
The train has driven up with my children.
Oh, my gosh. I would have lost my mind.
So calm. We're just like, all right, I guess we just get off at the next one and wait for mom to come and get us.
Oh, my God. Well, but at least you had one. There was one high schooler with you.
Yeah.
There was someone in.
He was actually the worst.
Probably.
He was panicking the most.
Really?
And I was just like, guys, it's fine. We'll sort it out. It's okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But wow. I was also my older brother's babysitter. So at 9 years of age, mum and dad were like, this is the first time we've gone out for dinner in a decade. And Maud's in charge.
Yes.
Maud, here are all the numbers. I'm youngest by like 2 and 3 years. Like, they're completely older than me. And they're like, they just accepted it. They were like, yeah, of course Maud's in charge.
But
yeah,
clearly the most responsible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What do your brothers do now?
One's a surveyor and the other one's a data analyst.
Surveyor.
The data analyst he's the dad. It's kind of sick that I am an aunt, but I'm already a terrible aunt because I was supposed to go back to Australia for his first birthday. And then, of course, my brother, like, I see a post while I'm in London at a pub.
Yeah.
A few beers deep.
Of course.
And it was like, it's my son's first birthday. And I was like, oh, God. And so I managed to get, like, a table of people to sing happy birthday to my one-year-old nephew. And then my brother FaceTimes halfway through it. And it's my little nephew who's like, you know, so cute. And so we're all just live singing him happy birthday in front of everyone else. Like, I hope that made up for me being the shittest aunt already.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he's won. So I've got like at least 2 more years before I have to step up my
game. You've got plenty of time to make that up.
Hi, Arthur.
Happy
Arthur. Birthday, Arthur.
What a sweet name.
Auntie Maud loves you.
Yeah.
I call him Artu.
You call him Artu. Beautiful. Speaking of Arthur, did you guys see that Alabama has banned airing one of the Arthur episodes because there's a gay marriage on it? I'm like,
I did see that,
what is happening right now?
The fact that mouse are standing and getting married is
they're
not
actually rats.
Oh, my bad.
You better, rats? Yes, it's a gay rat marriage.
How is that? The gay part is not the most alarming part about that series.
Exactly.
And I just picture, was it Chrissy Teigen saying that her husband is like Arthur with the
oh, I got with the fist. Yes. I love that you say Chrissy Teigen's husband as opposed to John Legend. Like, he isn't famous enough on his own.
Well, maybe he needs to up the legend part.
Oh, nice. He's a fucking legend.
Legend.
Speaking of drinking a little too much, I'm just going back to your pub story. Game of Thrones finale.
I'm so mad.
I definitely drank a little too much after that.
I screamed and then I cried. I sobbed. I was jet lagged and tired, but no, there was. It just wouldn't stop. The tears were just like running out of my face.
Really? I wasn't. Yeah. Clearly, a lot of people are like almost violently upset about this final season of Game of Thrones, to the point where a million people have signed a petition.
A million have signed that petition?
Yes, to redo the last season. Listen. Did I think it was? It was by far the worst season of Game of Thrones that's been out there.
Agree.
But it wasn't like an awful season.
And the thing is, it's like, let's not ignore the fact that at least the first six seasons were absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
They had to go off books from 7 and 8. So they had to take some risks. It didn't pay off, whatever. But we can't disregard that, you know, the majority of the show was still pretty great. It's just the payoff, I believe, is the most important part. And I feel like there was character assassination because everything stopped making sense.
Yeah.
Making sense. And it was pointless.
Like, really to me, the episode or the whole series, it just ended a little too happy. That was like,
it was betrayal. They threw John under a bus.
Yes, but also he didn't die. A lot of people didn't die. And a lot of, like, you know, spoiler alert, by the way, we should just say that, but it's been over a week now since it's aired. But, like, you know, Sansa actually ends up Queen of the North. Tyrion, I actually think the character that got the best arc is Bronn. Like, he started off as this, like, broke assassin, and now he's the master of the coin. I'm like, that's actually the coolest arc for me.
It's like that person who, like, you're playing Monopoly with, and then all of a sudden you look down and he's got, like, 19 hotels, and you're like, how did that happen?
Right. So it's like, there weren't a lot of choices that I hated, but I was like, I feel like there just could have been better choices.
You're just watching me eye roll.
I know.
My eyes hurt.
Like, I don't hate that Bran ended up on the throne because I kind of love the idea that they were like, yeah, this is how the wheel is broken. We'll finally have a person on the throne who cannot have any heirs. So we have to move forward knowing that.
The wheel's broken with the guy who's got the wheels. I didn't like it because in the same episode, Tyrion was like to Jon, I was wrong. It should have been you all along. It should have been you. And then Tyrion, who's in chains, has command of a room with the most powerful people. And they're like, what do you think? And he goes, actually,
Bran.
And I'm like, wait, how? And then like two episodes before, he's like, I don't even want any more, Tyrion. I don't even want. And then he's like, do you want this? He's like, why do you think I'm here? And I'm like, I got whiplash. I'm also in a wheelchair now because that hurt so much. My neck got snapped because like I can't follow this chain of events that's happening.
Right.
Angry, mad.
I guess I didn't take it as him wanting it. It was him knowing that it had to happen. So it wasn't like a want. It was like, this is the journey that I knew I had to be on.
Well, it would have been really cool if his eyes turned blue and he was manipulating this entire thing and he used the Night King That would have been.
But that's what I mean. Like, I feel like there could have been bolder choices made. I just didn't hate the choices made, like a lot of people. Tom's like, I don't care.
I did watch it.
Yeah. You did? You watched the finale?
I watched the finale.
But it probably made no sense to you. I fell asleep
halfway through it.
That's fair.
I was out all day with my buddy. We went to a pizza festival in L.A. And so we were drinking all day long.
Yeah.
And
passed
out watching it at his house.
Day drinking is harder.
Especially when you're older.
Yeah.
I have
a 4 p.m. nap.
I watched it with my friend and her husband, and he, like, right before the episode started, he was like, so who do you think is going to end up on the throne? I'm like, I think it's going to be Sansa and Tyrion. I think they're going to get back together and blah, 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 and whatever. And he's like, there's no way. He's like, it's got to be Arya. And I was like, what? He's like, it has to be Arya. She's the only one who can do this. I'm like, Arya is not a leader. Like, there's no...
Neither was Bran.
Well, no, but I mean, at least Bran had, like, democracy in him or some sort of politicalness. Like, Arya is just, she's become a trained assassin. And what made her so badass.
She turned down a beef unit with a big hammer.
Beef unit. But then I was like, how do you think it's Arya? And he goes, well, to be fair, I've only watched this season. I was like, then you get no opinion. If you haven't been watching this from the beginning, you would know that Arya would never be on the... Arya would disappear into the mist before she ended up on the Iron Throne.
Actually, she's the most consistent character.
Actually, I disagree for the very last... Well, I don't know. Let me rephrase. This isn't a character this isn't a character assassination is the phrase you use. In the second to last episode, when she rides off on that white horse, I was like, bitch is gonna go take care of some shit. Like, I was like, she's on her way to kill Danny. I thought she might be on her way to kill John. And instead, she just sort of like rides the horse to the edge of the city, meets up and is like, John, don't be with her. And then just like does nothing.
I know. There's so much momentum. Yeah. The most anticlimactic finishes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I laughed. Someone on Twitter was like, I didn't think Arya's story was going to end in colonialism.
That's an American joke that I don't really know the gravitas.
Like, she was basically like Christopher Columbus going off to like...
She's going
to
find America.
Yeah.
Got it. Got it. I'm back. Sup.
Yeah. Anyway, should we take a bit of a breaky break and then we get into the email?
Yeah, like I'm sad again.
I'm sorry. We'll take a break. We'll get happy again.
Okay.
All right. Okay, we're back, and I have a bit of a Game of Thrones segue here. We have an email from David Barry. It's entitled Hidden Treasure. He says, hello, half hour crew.
Hi, David.
He doesn't actually say that. I don't know why I hesitated at half hour crew, because I was like, it didn't have the half hour, it didn't have happy hour.
Oh,
yeah. Anyway, so you remember a few weeks ago, before the season started, we were talking about how they were hiding Iron Thrones everywhere?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he says, you were talking about the hidden Iron Thrones and going on a treasure quest.
Yep.
A better one would be the Fenn treasure. Forrest Fenn, a Santa Fe art dealer, was diagnosed with cancer, so he decided to do a bucket list item. And in 2010, he claimed to have hidden a chest with $1 million worth of gold and jewels.
Shut it.
What?
To make things more difficult, he said the treasure is buried in the Rocky Mountains, somewhere between Santa Fe and the Canadian border. He wrote a poem that has clues to the treasure's whereabouts, but as of yet, nobody has deciphered it. One thing, 4 people died searching for it, so be careful.
What?
Yeah, wait, hold on. I want to actually
look up.
Gosh.
That's maniacal. That's horrible. Now. I was like, imagine being that rich that you could like create your own Horcrux.
Yeah.
Oh, this is like Ready Player One with the clues. To get like the $1 trillion fortune and access to the Oasis. Ooh. Whoa, that's cool, man.
The Oasis.
Okay, so here's a bit of the poem. As I have gone alone in there and with my treasures bold, I can keep my secret where and hint of riches new and old. Begin it where warm waters halt and take it in the canyon down. Not far, but too far to walk. Put in below the home of Brown. There's like 4 more passages.
But yeah, like, I got it. I know where it is.
Yeah, exactly where it is. Somewhere between Santa Fe and Canada.
You know where that is, Mo?
Come on,
that?
Fenn. Yeah. Step up your game, mate.
I'm rich. I'll read the last one. Uh-huh. So hear me all and listen good. Your effort will be worth the cold. If you are brave and in the wood, I give you title to the gold.
Listen good in the wood. He rhymes it pretty well.
Hells yeah.
He's an artist.
Yeah. How cool is that? There's like a real life treasure.
As if you wouldn't just get like a topography or you just go on. Oh, I shouldn't finish this sentence because I'll do it. No. Just go on Google Earth
and see if you can find it that way.
Yeah. Just follow down that stream and then just,
That's interesting.
As a writer, I just don't like the fact that it said listen good. Listen well. Listen,
well,
I know good
rhymes
with wood. I get it. I'm just saying.
It doesn't rhyme.
As a writer, as a professional writer over here, guys. I know my English language.
It doesn't make French.
Very goodly.
All right, I have another one. This was entitled Natural Peanut Butter Game Changer.
Yes.
This was a few episodes ago. I remember talking about natural peanut butter. You have to mix it up.
Oh, yeah.
This is from Barry. He says, hi ho there, HHHLN, in my head done to the beat of shave and a haircut 2 bits.
HHHLN.
Hi, Barry.
That's 5 H's.
HHHLN. There you go. Hi, Maud.
Hi, Barry.
Maybe she continues that meme sometimes, so I'll roll the dice. I like you love some natural peanut butter, but loathe the act of stirring it with a spoon. However, I've learned an immersion blender. Fits nicely into the jar.
Yeah.
Keep it in the refrigerator to keep it from separating and save your spoon for its title purpose. No, save your spoon for its true purpose, delivering peanut butter directly into your mouth.
Yes.
Fist bump to Maud. Yeah, we actually fist bump.
That's cute.
And he says, happy snacking, Barry O-L-M-T.
What's an immersion blender?
It's like those little...
Oh, I see it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm the kind of shitty housewife that looks at that and it looks more like a...
no, you're thinking mod. Oh, boy.
I would not know how to use that or on what foods.
Yeah, well, okay. It's...
I just saved myself $20. Wow. There you what is it doing? It's in a soup pan.
You can make
it's blending stuff.
Yeah. Is that even called a soup pan?
No, that's a pot.
No more
giant. It's just a pot.
I'll take a pan
of soup,
please.
Look, it's making mashed potatoes. You have no more gloopy potatoes. Yep. That's what it
says.
That's
what we use it for.
It promises no more gloopy potatoes.
How many power settings are on it?
Mm. Oh, Maude, you're so dirty. Remember, her mom was a sex therapist. Yeah. That's why Maude thinks dirty all the time.
Yep, all the time.
All the time.
I blame my mom.
I have another good story for
Maude. I was actually talking about my mom the other day. Oh. The first time I ever taught her like emails and how to save a photo, she's like, I just sent you an email. And I open it and it's just got one picture of a condom on it.
No.
I thought you would need this.
Oh my gosh.
This is your first email to me.
That's amazing.
Just a friendly reminder.
The first
safe emails.
The first picture my mother ever texted me, like when I realized my mother learned how to take a picture with her phone and then text it to someone, was a picture of my father wearing a leather jacket. Cute. And I was like, what is happening? Mom's learning how to text pictures. Dad's wearing leather jackets.
That's being cool.
What's going on here?
Summer loving happened so fast.
But it had me a blast. Okay, I got another good email.
Yeah.
This is from Brad. It's entitled, Spiders Are Bad, But... Sorry, Maude.
Oh, no.
He says, hi, 4-H LN crew. It's Brad C.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Pause to see if Maude catches her cue. Hi, Maude.
I'm hitting miss, but today's good. I had two coffees. I'm going to... Never mind.
Okay. I know Maude seems brave when it comes to spiders and such.
Hell yeah, I am.
But
hold me back.
But when Mark Hamill announced he was voicing Chucky,
oh god,
I went down a rabbit hole and ran across this video of Maude's view on Chucky. Mm-hmm. Tom may want to play-by-play the vid.
Oh.
Thanks for the fun.
Oh, dear.
It's amazing. I watched it. Maude, I watched this. Mm. Let's see. I'll play the...
You want to scooch it forward to, like, what, 4 minutes something?
Yeah, hold on. We'll get there. But it's... Okay, here we go. Look, so Maude is... you're interviewing...
Lee Whannell, who's the Australian actor, and he directed all the...
Star movies,
Souls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't even watch.
Aristotle's losing it. This is Maude crying.
At what?
Because she just saw a little person dressed as Chucky.
Oh!
She's literally crying on the red carpet right now.
Oh my god.
I watched this whole thing. She's like actual tears to the point where the man that she is interviewing takes the mic from her and continues the interview because Maude has lost her mind.
What?
She then like runs off to a wall and the camera guy films her crying against a wall.
The
little person dressed as Chucky and it came at her.
Had an axe.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh!
Beeline towards me, didn't even could step
he's a
under
person.
The rope.
Yeah, so, he went under the rope
without bending.
What was he there for? Was he?
It was a premiere.
So the story is.
Yes,
I went to my very first House of Horrors at Universal City Studios, and I developed a phobia called automatonophobia, because what happened was. In the playroom part of the Halloween House of Horrors.
She already looks so disturbed.
My friends are long gone. I will never forget that. Millie and Will, you suck.
Oh, like they left you in this room.
They kept going.
Got it.
And as I was like alongside the wall, opens the toy box and this Chucky is like, and he like jumps out and he's got this knife and it was like a jack-in-the-box kind of movement. And then he went back inside the box and the lid shut. And I was like, I mean, the first thing that I did was slam up against the wall and I think I had a panic attack. My very first one, I'd never had that before. I was like, why can't I breathe right now? This is awful. And then I wanted to understand it and I go, oh my God, it's just a robot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's an animatronic and it's motion censored.
Right.
So I've just gone into the part where it's opened up.
Yeah.
So I walk towards it and I go, when I find that this is a robot, I will never be scared of anything ever again.
Oh,
so
no.
I walk up to it and it springs open and it goes in the same movement and I'm like, ha ha, and then it gets out of the box and starts chasing me.
No!
And my torso turns to run but my legs don't.
Oh god.
So I just flop on the floor. Like I just drop so fast. And that's why I was army crawling and it's looming over me with this knife.
Holy.
But something has snapped in my brain where an automatonophobia is the fear of something that's not real coming to life.
Yeah.
So
it's
not a phobia of little people as I actually suspected it to be.
Right.
Because I think like that afternoon whilst having a lot of alcohol, I saw a little person and I was like,
yeah.
triggered.
Yeah,
right. But it's, yeah, it's the fact that it was like a dog, because like mannequins weren't good all of a sudden.
Yeah, know? Oh, I've always dolls been freaked out by mannequins.
All of a sudden. Yeah. I went to, like, there was like this Weta exhibition for Warcraft, and they had like a really giant, big, but super realistic orc.
Yeah.
I couldn't be near it because I was just waiting for it to blink.
Yeah.
And I was just telling him about that, and he goes, oh, it's so funny because there's a Chucky just there. And of course, I look at it, and it just snaps its head and looks at me.
Oh, my God.
And
she cried on camera doing a red carpet interview. And Maude, I watched this entire interview with so much love in my heart from you. And at the end of it, I went, I don't understand how Maude has ever been hired for another job. And I also don't understand how Maude hasn't been hired for every job since then. It was the most endearing thing to watch. It
makes you real to the audience.
Yeah, it's incredible.
You're not just some robot yourself. You're a human being.
I'm a little bitch, scared. Guys. I'm a little bitch over little bitches.
I would have freaked out too, by the way. Like,
it was awful.
It was amazing.
But Lee was really great throughout the whole thing.
No, clearly. Yeah. The man you were interviewing handled it like a pro.
That clip went viral.
That's pretty great.
It should have.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Hey, it's pivoting. Another video of mine is going viral at the moment.
Ooh, look at that.
A little bit of traction. Yeah. 200,000 views and counting.
That's a lot of views.
I found out Keanu Reeves or John Wick's weakness.
Ooh.
Compliments.
No.
Yep, that's what does him the most harm, I found out.
Did you just do the junket for
it? I did, for John Wick.
Yeah.
And I did research, and there is so much evidence compiled of people having amazing stories.
Yeah, but he's like the nicest dude.
Guy.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, hey, I want to run by some of these stories to see if they're true.
Yeah.
And they were.
Yeah.
Like a long time ago, Octavia Spencer, who just moved to LA to do acting, her car broke down on the side of the freeway. And this guy, pulled his motorbike over, got up and was like trying to talk to her, going, do you need a hand? Can I call anyone? He removes his helmet. It's Keanu Reeves. And her only response was, please don't look at my shit box of a car. It was like covered with like, bird poop.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah, that happened. Yeah. And he's like, but anyone would have done that. And I was like, it's LA.
No one would have done that. I read one because people have been like tweeting their stories about their Keanu Reeves experiences. And this one actually took place in Australia.
Oh.
It's a guy who worked at a movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
And he worked at the box office. And I guess, I forget what movie Keanu Reeves was in town. He was shooting some movie in Australia. And it was like a Tuesday. And he went to go see, oh, God, they said the name of the movie. Some Johnny Depp movie or something
That's right.
By himself. And he walked up to the box office, and the guy was 16 years old, and like he instantly was like, he goes, I want to give you my employee discount, because he knew that to give someone the employee discount, they had to sign a piece of paper, and he's like, then I'll have his autograph. And Keanu Reeves goes, but I'm not an employee. It's okay. I'll pay full price.
Yeah,
and he's like, oh, okay. You know, the 16 years, like, whatever. So he sells him the ticket, and then like 5 minutes go by, and then there's a knock on the door into the box office, and he opens the door, and it's Keanu Reeves standing there with a receipt from the concession stand, and he goes, I realized why you wanted to give me that discount was probably so you could have my autograph, so here you go, and hands him a receipt with his autograph on it, and then just walks off and casually tosses an ice cream cone into the trash. And the guy realizes that Keanu Reeves went to the concession stand just to buy an ice cream cone he wasn't going to eat so he could get a receipt to sign it to give to this guy. I'm like, what?
Another story was that he waited outside his own rap party in the rain because security didn't recognize him and he didn't want to cause a scene.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That was true. He said that was true.
He couldn't remember that one. That was a while ago. But I mean, like, when you do nice things all the time, I guess you can't really identify it. But it's so funny. Like, I actually ended up apologizing because I realized he's an introvert.
Mm-hmm. Is
and
he really?
When you have like spotlight and attention, he's not doing nice things for the glory of it. You know? He's not someone who gives with the expectation of receiving. He doesn't want anyone to kind of like, he just does it. Like, there was another one where he was photographed just chatting with a homeless guy in Central Park for like hours and buying this homeless guy some snacks just to hear his story because, you know.
Well, and also there's all those pictures about like, you know, paparazzi gets photos of him all the time when he's like about to eat a sandwich and he looks so happy about to eat a sandwich. Like, he's so thrilled to
eat. I love him.
I know. He's great.
I love him so. Honestly, like, everyone in the world needs to be better so that this world is better for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We got to give back to Keanu, man. Yeah.
Do you guys watch Last Week Tonight with John Oliver at all?
Sometimes, yeah.
It's a great show, but they did one recently on the shitty quality of coroners and medical examiners. They're just not given enough funding. They're not actually properly educated, like all this kind of shit. And so, coroners actually have no requirements to be a coroner. Medical examiners clearly do.
Oh, okay, guys.
That's coroners the worst job ever.
Well, right, but they're like the two-thirds of the people who handle deaths in this country are coroners, not medical examiners.
Damn. Interesting.
And, and they just do all this expose on, like, the crappy things that happen to dead people because these...
Literally crappy.
Yes, exactly. But they make it
a
point...
They shit themselves.
I heard that.
John Oliver's like, I understand that it's difficult to get people to care about this because getting you to care about it means you're caring. You need to care about your own mortality and people don't like thinking about
that.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, so, care about it for Beyonce. Care about it for Glenn Close. You don't want them to die and then be treated shittily because of coroners and medical examiners and things like that. But it's like getting people to care about something. Do it for Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Do it. You can't do it for yourself. Do it for Keanu Reeves.
What would Keanu do?
Yeah, what would Keanu do?
WKD. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I interviewed him only once, and this is years and years and years ago. God, I forget the name of the movie, but he was in it with Chris Evans. And I interviewed the two of them together. Oh. They were cops of some sort.
I love it.
Yeah. Really? And
I'll think of it.
And I remember saying to Chris Evans, I said something like, when you're in these fight scenes with Keanu, did you ever just want to be like, flame on and turn into, because what is he in the...
Johnny Torch? Storm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Johnny Storm?
Human Torch.
Yes. And Chris Evans looks at me and went, no, he's Neo. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, good point. Real good point.
Neo stops bullets. He can stop fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
Keanu just recently, this was like just like 2 months ago. I guess his flight had to be diverted from LAX.
And they landed like Bakersfield and they had to take a
van. He rented a van and he drove everybody back to their homes in LA.
No, he didn't rent the van. It was provided by the airline. He was just in the van with everyone.
But he was reading facts about Bakersfield.
That's
everyone.
Bakersfield.
But like, and then he took a picture with everyone.
Yeah.
What would Keanu do? What would Keanu do?
That's a great way to live life.
I just want him to, like, my new life goal is to just make sure that he's happy.
Yeah.
And, like, loved.
Is he single?
He deserves. So, yeah, he is. I don't know if he's. Yeah, I am. I don't know if he's, like, single, but I know he's not married.
Yeah.
But I just, like, honestly, oh my God, he's so pure and innocent, and I just want to protect that, you know?
All right.
Yeah.
That'll be our new goal with this podcast now. protect Keanu.
But you can't compliment him, whatever you do. I literally was like, I'm so sorry if I'm making you uncomfortable. And he's just like, Maud.
Aw, that's so sweet,
though. When he said my name, I was in a good mood for 24 full hours after that. Everyone's like, how are you? I was like, all week I've been like mildly depressed, but now I am
bursting.
But
Keanu said your name.
Yeah.
Can you get all the raw footage from that interview so you have every single word he ever spoke to you?
YouTube.com/geekbomb.
For the full thing. Okay, wow. Unedited interview?
No, we edited it up just so it's on theme. But I got the files.
Yeah, you do.
Maud. Yeah, no, that needs to be my ringtone. Maud.
Yeah, you should make it your ringtone. That's a great idea.
I'm like, sorry, this is Keanu talking to me every time.
I'll just get you.
No bang, no bags. Tom, you got a story for us?
I think I do. Let me see.
I think we got time for a story.
Oh, hold on.
Let's see how it's going to be related to porn.
No,
or sex
I don't.
Toys
that's
or...
not true. All right. We like our technology, right?
Yeah.
Two college kids allegedly used counterfeit iPhones to scam Apple out of nearly $900,000.
Whoa.
God.
$900,000?
I haven't heard this story yet as well.
No,
that's because they haven't read it. And you didn't put it on your website first, Maud. And then give me a hard time that I poached from you or something. Two Chinese men who were attending college in Oregon, allegedly used thousands of counterfeit iPhones, to scam a company that probably should have known better, Apple. Under the alleged scheme, a collaborator in China would regularly ship packets of 20 to 30 fake iPhones to these two guys who were in the U.S. on student visas. The duo would then send those knockoffs with repair requests to Apple. If the company determined a bogus device was eligible under warranty, it would repair it or, more often,
just replace it
with a genuine model, usually a new phone, which the students would then send to China to be sold for a profit.
That's actually like... epic loophole.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's fraudulent activity for sure.
Yeah.
But like $900,000 worth
insane.
Of phones.
I felt bad slash amazing that I inadvertently scammed the system at a CVS.
Did you? What happened?
So I went to CVS and I bought a whole, it was like my CVS run when you just like refill, like like toilet paper and tissues and makeup and like everything. And I bought, it had been so long since I had bought new mascara, so I bought three different of my
Lash Paradise mascaras. By L'Oreal, no, by the way, it's the best.
See, I'm a Maybelline Voluminous. Oh. No, L'Oreal. Sorry, it's L'Oreal Voluminous. Oh, this is L'Oreal. Where I get screwed up. Maybelline has one that's named similarly. Oh. And I went to go get it, and I was like, oh, I guess they changed the packaging. So I grabbed three of these mascaras. I go, and I get rung up, and like, you know, I have that CVS card, yep, and they give me all these coupons, and you get the really long one, whatever. Yes. I saved like 20% on my entire order, right? I drive home, which is 3 minutes away.
Right.
I unpack, I take the mascaras to where I do my makeup, and I'm like, I got the wrong mascara. I was like, I need to go back. I was already going back that way anyway. So I take the mascaras, and then I'm looking in the bag, and I cannot find my receipt. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? How did I lose the receipt?
Yeah, it's like 9 meters long.
I didn't go anywhere except into my car and home, and then that's it. So I go back to CVS, and I was like, look, I was like, I think I screwed up. I knew I screwed up. I was like, I bought the wrong brand. Can I just exchange them? And they're like, do you have the receipt? And I was like, I don't. I'm sorry. They're like, that's fine. Give us the mascaras. We'll give you basically like a gift card, and then you just rebuy them with the right ones with the gift card. I'm like, cool. So they give me this gift card, and I buy the mascaras, and then I realize, like, I totally got more money back because I had technically used a 20% off coupon before, but because I didn't have the receipt, they credited me back the full price of those three mascaras, and I was like, yeah!
So you got, like, $5.21.
Totally, I totally had extra money. I was like, oh, what?
Three CVS shops probably have to shut down now because of that.
But I walked out being like, that shouldn't be right, but I guess I did. I, like, literally was like, I bet people do that regularly.
There are ways to scam the sis.
Yeah.
Tom, but it's like, Just don't.
You know, when I was a kid, I didn't scam the system, but my mom did something pretty awesome for me that kind of scammed the system, I guess. Yeah. So I was probably, I don't know, how old are you when you love candy and you get free candy and you get really excited?
From like every age. Five on
so
every
like a,
age.
Yeah, I had like a coupon for a free Caramello bar.
Ooh.
Which is a fantastic candy bar.
Yeah.
So I go into our local store and go up to the counter with the free candy bar and the coupon, and the guy says, we don't take that here. So I was embarrassed, so I leave. Aww. I got to the car, my mom's like, where's your candy bar? And I go, they say they don't take it at that store. So she grabs the coupon from me, goes inside, and demands the guy give
me. Yeah!
So he did. He gave me the candy bar.
Aww.
For the coupon. That's why I love my mom, because she fought for candy
for me. Does
your
mom have one
me.
Of those haircuts that says she wants to talk to the manager?
Yeah, she totally does. She's, got like the, she's always had the hair that's kind of like up.
Yeah.
Poofy up. Like, yeah.
Up.
Not
short.
Like, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder about that, actually. It's like, I'm so good at doing this one hairstyle, and if you guys check back, I've been doing it for like 12 years now. Am I going to have this for the rest of my life? And then it's going to be like the 80s version of those women who like had their hairstyle that they never changed?
Yeah.
I like that, though. If you can grow gray gracefully and have, you can keep your long hair like that, you're going to look great.
Is it going to
It's
going to
look awesome. No.
No. I mean, long straight hair is always pretty much in
style. It's classic.
Okay. You know? Classic. I'm the one who tends to do things to my hair where I'm like, this is super trendy. I'm going to do this right now. And then I look back at photos. I'm like, why?
Oh my gosh.
Don't let me do that.
The early noughties when we all had like the really thick hair over at one eye.
Oh, yeah.
Is that just me?
Is that what it's called, by the way?
Like emo.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
No, wait. Speaking of Aristotle.
Yeah. No, I just didn't know that.
You don't call it the noughties?
Aristotle.
I've never heard it, but it makes
you guys,
sense.
Don't what? You remember Sorry. Last time Aristotle told us he was dyeing his hair blue?
It's not blue. What happened?
What's happening?
He's a dirty liar.
He's like,
he's
I'm
like,
embarrassed.
About it.
You didn't chicken out, though, did you? Okay. As long as it's not that you chickened out, I accept anything.
Do we have to say something bad about a salon or anything?
Do we? He's so sad. We'll talk to him after the show. Right. We'll figure it out.
I'm sorry.
Speaking of after the show, we should probably
at least someone didn't
wrap it up.
Someone blew it. With
oh God, Maude.
Blew all over your head.
Wow.
Sorry.
What?
Wow.
Bye guys.
Nice.
All right, we're wrapping up. Hey, by the way, my crowdfunding campaign for Heart Baby Eggplant is still going on. By the time this episode airs, we will be in our third week of funding. If you can pledge, that would be amazing. Go to seedandspark.com/fund/heart-baby-eggplant. I think that's the website. Whatever. It's on my Instagram and my Twitter. You'll find it. There are some really cool perks. You can come to a recording of this. Actually, one of the perks I didn't talk about yet is that you can get an original script from The Big Bang Theory. Since that show has now ended.
Cool.
And this is one of the, like, actually used by the script by the cast scripts, not the ones. The ones that you normally find online are like reprints and stuff like that. And these are like the table read scripts, which means that they will have scenes and lines in it that never actually made it to air. So it makes it even more unique. So that's one of the perks that is on there too. Anyway, if you want to email us at halfhourhappyhourfans@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, halfhourhappyhr. Please subscribe to us on whatever you listen to us on, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. I always forget. Spotify. That's the one I always forget. How do I forget that one? Rate us and share us with your friends. Okay, thanks, bye.
And keep tweeting us your favorite moments of the show on the Mondays. That's always my favorite, too.
Yeah, same.
You
might
just get a retweet from me because I'm a sucker for that.
Yeah. And, you know, just keep in your mind, what would Keanu do? All right, that is it for this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour Ladies Night. I'm Allison Hayslip.
I'm Lord Garrett.
Thanks for sitting in with us, Tom White Wine Mandango Krayevsky. Keanu. Star Bands Audio. A podcast network.